Ah, the name is Bootsy, baby. Radio Free Galaxy. You know that funk's for me. By the power of the one, we be funkin' for fun, baby.
Radio Free Galaxy listeners, we're Bellhead from Chicago, and we would like to invite you to a special all-ages event Saturday, April 6th at X-Ray Arcade, Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Please join us for Thrashnetic, the Josh Russo Memorial Benefit for Mental Health Awareness and Suicide Prevention, featuring Go Fight, Hate Department, Cyanotic, Clack, Bellhead, AM Psych, and more. This benefit is in partnership with Prevent Suicide Wisconsin.
Tickets are available now at the X-Ray Arcade website. We look forward to seeing you all there.
Welcome to Radio Free Galaxy. I'm Travis Lee.
I'm Teen Komar.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Andrew.
And because we have that crew together, it must be a Star Trek week.
Woo! Woo!
And this week we will be discussing... We're on season four, right? Season four, yes. Episode six of Star Trek Lower Decks. Slowly getting our way through this season, but I've been enjoying it. Mm-hmm. Andrew and Shannon, like monsters, binged it right away and have watched it many times since. And Christine and I, you know, because we have patience and... you know, we like to enjoy things. We're taking our time.
Sweet Christmas.
Sorry, guys. I'm just giving you a little bit of stuff.
Giving them some guff.
Anyway, we're going to be talking about Ferengi. It's all about Ferengi tonight, so you know it's going to be a good time. But first, I would please implore you to follow us on social media. We're the most active on Facebook. You can find out whenever we publish a new episode. That's not quite true, but I'd like it to be true. You can find out... The best way you can find out when we publish a new episode is just to subscribe to us on Spotify and then turn on those push notifications on your phone. And when I'm sitting in my underwear in the morning publishing episodes to Spotify and to putting videos up on YouTube, you will get notified when you're sitting in your underwear, drinking your coffee, getting ready for work, or doing whatever you're doing. You're like, oh, Radio Free Galaxy's got some new stuff out.
Oh my God.
They got some new stuff out on Spotify and Apple Podcasts and on YouTube. My, I should check some of that stuff out.
Yeah.
Yeah, so follow us on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and YouTube. YouTube channel is doing great, and we're about to launch a second YouTube channel, but that's not happening yet, but it will be soon. It'll be Radio Free Galaxy Live, and it'll have actual videos of the actual people are on this podcast, not just the silly cartoon stuff that I post on the other Radio Free Galaxy channel. That can never be monetized because I steal other people's content. Anyway.
Shots fired.
Anyway, we are talking about, like I said earlier, Star Trek Lower Decks, our beloved series that we've been enjoying very much. Season 4, Episode 6, Parth Ferengi's Heart Place. And really, this whole episode, it should be called Easter Egg, the episode. Because it is filled with, I mean, Lower Decks in general is filled with Easter eggs for other Star Trek series, but this one in particular is heavy with the Easter eggs, and especially for Deep Space Nine, but there's also some Voyager ones in there, original series, Next Generation stuff, and even the title of the episode is, it refers to Garth Marenghi's Dark Place, which was a very abstract, weird comedy series that was it on Adult Swim, Christine?
It was.
Comedy Central?
Yeah. No, it was on Adult Swim at one point.
Okay.
Like the early 2000s.
Okay. Yeah. It was a very weird series. I don't exactly know if there was any reference in the episode to that, because they're really...
I
didn't really notice any.
I really liked Garth Marenghi's Dark Place, yeah. And I didn't really see any of the references besides just in the name, but, I mean, yeah. There could have been something that, like, was very
I think it was just kind
maybe.
Of a rhymey thing.
Yeah.
Parth Ferengi, Garth yeah. Marenghi, I don't know.
I'm so happy that they mentioned it. It's actually a wildly entertaining series. It's very short.
Yeah. So, we've got an A and a B plot in this episode, where our A plot is that the Cerritos has been tasked with going to Ferenginar to, the Ferengi want to petition to join the Federation, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to negotiate that deal, Captain and, the Admiral. Does anybody know the Admiral's name offhand?
No, not looking at it.
No, bald Admiral guy. He's Admiral Vasari. Okay. That's his name.
sure. He was on, the Toledo or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so we're going to Ferenginar, and we're going to negotiate this deal because it's the Ferengi, and, you know, nothing is ever going to be easy. Although the Admiral thinks it's going to be super easy, and the Captain is like, hold on a second. These are the Ferengi. Nothing mm-hmm. is ever easy. And, of course, she's right. And then the B plot is that the lieutenant's junior grade, that's the proper saying. They make a funny little, yeah, right? They make a funny little joke about that in the episode. But I think it's the lieutenant's junior grade is how you would refer to him, our collection of main characters there. They're tasked with going to Ferenginar, and they have to review places for the Starfleet travel guide, which is not a rumor, it's actually a thing. Yeah, and
mostly bars, museums, and there was something else.
And the bars, and the other thing, and the bars.
Yeah. But yeah, it's mostly bars. Yeah, so, we'll just get started with talking about, I mean, it's all a lot of this references to old things on Star Trek. So the Grand Nagus right now is Rom, who is from Deep Space Nine, and also Lita from Deep Space Nine. She was a Dabo girl on Deep Space Nine, and Rom was Quark's brother or cousin?
I thought it was his brother.
His brother, who was the bartender, and he was always maligned, and Quark was always messing with him, and, you know, everything. But at the end of that series, I believe it was even, like, the last episode, he was named Grand Nagus, right?
It was second or third to last. It was in that last arc, though. But he and Lita got married.
Yeah.
In, like, season 4 or 5.
Yeah. And so so this is taking place, I think, like 5 years after that, right? I think I read somewhere that this is taking place 5 years after the end of Deep Space Nine, which kind of, you wonder about sometimes, at least in my head, in my like Star Trek headcanon, I wonder when this takes place a lot, even though they kind of explain it, but now we've got like a definite kind of picture that it's 5 years after the end of Deep Space Nine, which actually puts it closer to that timeline than I actually had thought previously.
Well,
so
Mariner said that she had, you know, trounced around it at some point. So, I mean, and she's still a lieutenant, you know, now a lieutenant junior grade. But, you know, and we know she's been demoted a couple of times, but it can't be all that. I mean, she's not in her 50s or anything like that. She's still relatively young. So
right. Yeah. And the her friend on Ferenginar, it seems like every planet they go to, like, Mariner has some kind of former drinking buddy that
she's
like
got a guy for that.
Right. Well, this is the Ferengi from season one.
Yeah. Oh, okay. You know what? I didn't even think about that. It just seems like wherever they go, Mariner knows somebody, and they know her bullshit. They know what she's up to. They know what she's on. You know, oh, you're got another pip again. Yeah, we'll see how long it lasts.
I thought we were kind of done with this whole Mariner storyline of her sabotaging herself all the time. You know, I thought we kind of worked that out in previous episodes, but it seems like we're still going through that. And I'm sure you guys know better than us because you've watched the rest of the season, so I don't want any spoilers or anything, but I'm sure it comes to a head at least in some point in this season, right? No?
Happens. I don't want to spoil it. You said no spoilers. So, okay. I think, though, it's trauma-related, and you don't ever get over trauma. It comes back.
Yeah, right.
So, it could just be that this is a resurgence, especially because, as she said, things are going so well. She's supported.
Right.
And she's never had that before, so.
Right, and that bothers her. And, yeah. I don't know. So we've got that storyline, and then we also have the Rutherford Tendy storyline, and they're pretending to be fake married so that they can go check out some of this marriage hotel or whatever, this honeymoon hotel, basically this Parth, I forget the name of the hotel, but. They're checking in there to hang out there, and they're doing the honeymoon suite. And
they got to hug Sierge.
Yeah.
But the gimmick is all that the staff are all dressed up as Federation or Starfleet, mm-hmm. though, right?
Yeah, totally. And I love that. And it's a direct reference to, like, there was a Star Trek experience. What was it at? Universal Studios
or whatever? Las Vegas.
Yes, that's it. And they had, like, a Star Trek-themed... bar restaurant there.
That's kind
of
cool.
And this is kind of a homage to that. Mm. Yeah.
Okay.
There's a lot of things that... There's so many Easter eggs that you see in the bar in there. You know, there's 10 forward sign. You know, she makes reference to the uniforms that start on fire.
The velour suits.
Yeah, all of that. Then we got that, and then there's one other part of the B storyline, and that's Boimler getting absorbed in Frangie TV, which is, in my opinion, a direct reference to when Neelix and Kes had to watch TV on I can't remember which exact episode that was of Voyager, but they had to monitor TV for a while, and they got super absorbed into watching. All the drama, the TV, and it's kind of the same thing that's happening to Boimler, and he has a whole itinerary of places he's supposed to go.
Not anymore.
But when he starts watching Cop, Landlord, everything. Landlord Cop is Landlord Cop, right? Not Cop, Landlord, yeah.
Something like that. And he also makes this comment.
Hold on, I wrote it down in my notes.
Go for it.
Yeah.
Cop landlords.
Yeah.
Cop
Og and Dar. Cop landlords.
What were you gonna say, Andrew, before that?
Well, he makes a comment about, you know, they have ads everywhere, and then they put ads even in their shows, and then by the end of the episode he's chugging down Slug of Cola or whatever it is.
Yeah, totally.
Oh, it was awesome. The first commercial he saw was an enlargement
Sluggo, yeah.
For the Ferengi male.
Yeah.
It's like, wow, they're just lying straight to you, these commercials.
Yeah. So, Christine, you want to tell us what you enjoyed about this episode very much? I enjoyed the episode. I've got no real qualms with it. We had the attack in the beginning, which is another continuation of that storyline we're getting in every episode. The Ferengi ship got attacked, and they had a small portable Genesis device on board. Which
a couple. I thought they had two.
I think they just had one. Just the one. One's enough.
But it was small.
Travel size. I don't know. I think that has to do with Ferengi or the rules of acquisition. I'm always highly entertained no matter what it is. But just seeing, like, you know, Ferenginar and, like, the Museum of Gambling and the Gambling Museum and, like,
and Quark's Youth Casino.
Yeah, the Youth Casino. And, like, you know, hey, we go to the library, you know, and Mariner's like, oh, I don't want to. It's like, we haven't had books in 1,000 years. What are you talking about? No, I think I love this entire episode, but I loved Boimler like hugging his like knapsack while he's eating Sluggo chips watching his shows, because like I love the animation in this series so much, because like I don't know, there's just something that makes it just so much more lively seeing
it's
like
expressive,
it's very expressive. I love like, you know, seeing the Grand Nagus loving baseball and changing everything in this contract, making like the dude dance in the end. Like, there's just everything about this episode that is just highly entertaining. Like, there's not one part that I'm like, oh my god, this is better than the rest, because like all of it just kind of tied really well together.
It did. They had a lot of different storylines going all, you know, into like a 20 some minute episode, mm-hmm. and they tied them all up pretty good, and it was pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
Shannon, you want to give us some of your favorite parts of this episode? I know you got some stuff written down there.
Of course I do. Yay! The charcuterie board.
Oh, yes!
Yes, 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 yes. I want awesome that.
Because the board was a basically, it looked like an Enterprise.
Yeah.
And they had the stuff laid out.
The communicator badge cheese slices.
Oh, my God. I want to buy those or get, like, a little cutter to have all those little cheeses. Yeah. Like, that's got to happen.
What else do they have? They had the dagger of the mind shot.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
They brought up, which was cool, which is a callback to original series. Yeah. I like the for-profit toilet.
Yeah.
Which was really funny. I ran into that one. I kind of liked, but kind of didn't like, where they put Tendi with
Rutherford.
Yeah, like, I like it because I really do think they should be a couple. And then, like, I don't know. Like, I liked it and I didn't quite like it. But I did love how they resolved that whole thing where they got caught out and they were about to be, like, sentenced to the most miserable life ever in the mines. Until Dr. Miglimo comes up and they're like, oh, no, we both love you and you have ruined our marriage and now we're getting a divorce.
I love how he gets the homewreckers discounts. It's like, it's like, you ain't got to spew up in my mouth twice to say that.
Yeah. So that was really cute. What else did I... the bust of good fortune, followed by the ceremonial invoice for the bust of good fortune.
Well, it's a family discount.
Yes, they got the friends and family discount. And then, I don't know about the rest of you, but I did rewatch it today, just so I had my notes and I prepped for the podcast.
Yep.
But I got a commercial today for Sonic, which is a fast food restaurant, for those who aren't in the U.S. Mm-hmm. And they're advertising a peanut butter bacon burger. Did anybody else get that? Because that sounded horrid.
What? No.
No.
Oh, my God.
Why? Yeah, that sounds bad.
No.
Oh, no.
And
I don't...
And they showed them dribbling the peanut butter onto the bacon burger.
No.
No.
Okay.
Nothing good will come from that.
What?
No.
Stop it, Sonic.
Go away, Sonic. Nobody likes you.
Sonic is that one weird cousin fast food restaurant that's always trying to come up with weird stuff, just, you know, like weird promotions, weird foods, just to, like, try to snag a portion of the market away from the big guys.
Yeah, but not well.
Yeah.
They need to just be brave and start making the servers wear... rollerblades.
Yeah.
Like back in the 50s or something like that, you know, pay them well and be like, this is our gimmick. They already have the drive up infrastructure.
Absolutely. They should lean on that whole theme. That's kind of what their theme is, and
they don't
follow through on that. It's just in look only.
It's peanut butter bacon burger of nastiness, man.
Ew, yeah.
Ew, no.
Radio Free Galaxy brought to you by Sonic.
I mean, no way.
No way.
I mean, it depends on the price, but no way.
Well, now I have shared my horror with the rest of you, and you can
Well, thank you. I didn't realize that. Why would... No, I got too many questions. It hurts my brain. Why they would... Why?
Because it'll spring people's curiosity. People's be like, well, now I need to try that.
No.
And it'll make for really good social media reaction posts of people sitting in their car and dribbling hot peanut butter and bacon grease all over themselves while they make little TikTok videos.
That sounds like Disaster Pants, like...
Disaster Pants the TikTok?
Yeah. The countdown begins. Do, do, do.
Okay, hey.
This is supposed to be our non-explicit show.
I didn't say nothing. Baloney. That's the most I said. You said the BS word. You did.
All right, Andrew, can you head us in a better direction here? What are some of your favorite mouth. References or parts of this show that Shannon hasn't already mentioned?
Meanie.
Well, I'm not. I'm just saying. Is there any that she hasn't mentioned that she, I'm.
Meanie.
Okay. Never mind. Go, Andrew.
Well, at the beginning, let's appreciate that these Ferengi arms dealers were just casually passing around a Genesis device.
Yes.
like I thought that like all information had been suppressed, but I guess, you know, even Ferengi got in on that.
Nope.
And just Ferengi in general are such a cool,
yes,
you know, allegory to humans and you know, capitalism, obviously. You know, having their memorial to the Dominion War, something that killed half a billion people or more in the Alpha Quadrant, and their memorial is to how their stocks plunged during the war. But, you know, to their credit, I guess that means they weren't being duplicitous and arming both sides.
Yeah.
And you know, my wife often throws Star Trek on in the background when she's working in her craft room, and she has DS9 on recently. And of course, there's and every time a Ferengi episode comes on, I'll pop my head in and watch the good parts. But there's a couple of times in a few different episodes where they talk about where Quark lectures Sisko or someone else about, you know, well, you know, you all criticize us for our hypercapitalism, basically, but, you know, there's never. We never irradiated our own planet with nuclear weapons. We never had slavery, which I think was a, you know, kind of a silly claim coming from girls. But we never committed mass genocide. All that blah 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 blah. So, it just having the ability to make those kind of social commentaries, while not making them a complete mockery, is. It was fun. You know, it makes everything fun.
It's a subtle art because it can always be too preachy. There's so many shows that do it wrong and they can get too preachy and you get tired of it and it's like, I'm not watching this for that. But the way that it's done with... What's that?
She-Hulk.
Oh, I liked that. She-Hulk. Stop it.
It was horrid.
I love She-Hulk. I'm hurting for a yurtin' right now.
I love that line.
I'm
hurting for a yurtin'.
I'll never forget that Tim Roth line.
All the time.
Yeah. I weirdly like that show. I don't know why. I know it's bad.
It's very corny.
It's very bad. I totally understand anyone that doesn't like it, but I enjoyed it quite a good deal. I think I was just in the right mood at the time. I don't know. I'm like, screw it. I'm down. But yes, when it's done wrong, it can go very wrong, but they seem to do it very well. And I love the Ferengi episodes of Deep Space Nine. Quark is such an awesome character. He makes that show, fun and gives it also weirdly a lot of heart too.
Yeah.
You know, the emotions that come from Quark and Rom and everybody is just great. And there's always a chance, you know, of Wallace Shawn showing up, and anything that Wallace Shawn is in is great. And Wallace Shawn, first of all, as a Ferengi.
Oh my God.
Is the best. Is the best.
It's perfect.
He was made to play a Ferengi. I wish he would have had a regular part in Star Trek as a Ferengi. That would have been great. And like the Next Generation or something. Wallace Shawn is like the security officer Ferengi or something.
They mess up the entire system and you have to pay every time you need something.
I don't know.
That'd be great.
The interactions between him and Worf would have been amazing.
Oh my God.
Oh, yes. Anyway, you got anything else, Andrew?
No. It's a great episode all around.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of any other... go ahead, Christine.
Mariner's Ferengi drinking helmet.
Two-can drinking?
Yes. I'm like, someone right now is making that happen.
Oh, for sure. You know, I want one.
Yes, I want one.
I've got a 2-can Santa drinking hat, but I don't have a 2-can Ferengi drinking hat.
Nope.
So, we need to get one.
Someone's got to crochet it or something. I don't know, but that's just got to happen.
You might be the person just for that.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Felt me a Ferengi drinking hat.
Yeah. Shannon, you got anything else?
I did. News? And then it totally...
Yeah.
Oh, the most polite Ferengi ever was the one that Mariner picked a fight with.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the biker gang.
Yeah. I'm just trying to drink some drinks with my biker gang.
So that was cool. And I do, I have to appreciate, because I am a total book nerd, mm-hmm. that they were in a library and gambling, and it was just awesome.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It had books everywhere on all the signs outside. And I was just like, oh, this is going to be awesome. And then it was like,
no
bar
books.
And they were playing Dabo, and it was
just another casino.
Yeah, just another casino. And I do have to point out, Boimler at the very end was like every trailer trash stereotype ever. He looked like he was bloodshot and drunk and just his tidy whities with his Star Trek or Starfleet symbol on them. And
he got spun by television in one weekend.
Yep.
Totally. Yeah. Shannon, do you have any Star Trek news for us this week?
Oh. I sure do.
Oh,
yay!
Cool. Excellent. You got it ready? Let's hear it.
All right. So I don't know if anybody had caught it, but Gary Graham passed this last week.
No.
And he played a Vulcan ambassador for 4 seasons in Star Trek Enterprise.
Oh, okay.
And he was also on Alien Nation, for those who are true sci-fi.
Oh, ooh, yes, yes, yes. He was the Alien Nation TV show. He was the human partner.
He was, yes.
Yeah.
There's that. Section 31, they've decided won't be a TV series, but it's going to be a movie.
Ooh.
And it'll be surrounding the captain from Discovery.
Oh, okay. Do we know who's going to be directing it at all?
I did not write that down.
Okay. That's fine.
I will try to find that for next time.
Yeah.
Let's see. Starfleet Academy is set to start production this year, later this year, and it will be a series. It is not going to be a movie.
Cool.
And then there's talk of a Star Trek Picard spinoff after both of those are done.
With 7 of 9, maybe?
No. No, the little sidekick.
Jack?
No, Raffi? I don't know. I didn't watch Picard.
Okay.
So
the Romulan samurai?
Raffella.
Raffi. Okay.
And then the one, the little bit of news we do care about, they are currently filming Strange New Worlds Season 3.
Excellent.
Yes.
The Gorn are going to be the recurring villains, which we all kind of knew. The show is going to continue to genre hop, so they're not sticking with just like straight on, normal episodic Star Trek. But we already knew that because they did a musical.
Right.
So they're going to continue to do other fun styles.
Nice. I'm excited.
Yep. Jonathan Frakes will do another episode as director.
Of course.
He did Those Old Scientists. Yep. So I'm looking forward to seeing the one in season 3 he's going to do.
Yep.
And then they did tease that beyond Scotty, it is inevitable that they will have more original series characters pop up on the show.
Of course. Excellent.
Awesome.
Yeah. I'm kind of hoping we see Bones, maybe.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Young Bones. Yeah.
Cantankerous Bones.
Yeah, I want a red-ass Bones.
I want
a young red-ass Bones. I love a red-ass Star Trek doctor. It's just one of my favorite things.
But having a philosophical conversation in the heat of battle with someone else while, like, you know, just in the background.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah. Cool. All right. That's our Star Trek news. And that is our podcast for this week. Thank you all for listening. We sure do appreciate it. Please remember to leave us a rating and review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify app. And please follow us on social media. And with that, we will see you next time for our Star Trek podcast, which happen every other week. So, bye-bye.
Bye.
See you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.